I am Rhea Butcher, the host of Wham Bam Pow for this evening. Cameron Esposito is out. She's just out. She's out and about. She couldn't make it in. She's not feeling so good. She is sick. Cameron, she is sick. But this is Wham Bam Pow, and you guys are listening to us, and I'm Rhea Butcher again. This is a movie show, a podcast focused on action and sci-fi films. You guys probably already know that, but I like saying it up top, reminding you what's going on. A couple other things that are going on. Same-sex symbol, the album by the absent Cameron Esposito, is now available on vinyl for you audiophiles out there. It's a beautiful pink and white marble vinyl. It's very nice. I've seen it, listened to it, it sounds great. Plus, it's bigger physically, so that's cool. And I made the artwork, so it's cool to see it on there. Again, I made the artwork. So you can order that on killrockstars.com, and I'm sure it's going to be in record stores soon. So check that out. So that's a cool thing. And then also, we are going to be, Cameron Esposito and I shall be opening for her for more dates on her same-sex symbol tour. We're going to be in Portland on the 3rd of January in the year 2015. Back to the Future Part 2. I can't wait. We're going to be at Mississippi Studios on the 3rd and then in Seattle at Rebar on the 4th. So come by and say hi if you're up there. Awesome. So today on the show, we'll have a review of 1990s indie darling hit Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which is available on Netflix Instant. There will be spoilers on this movie, FYI. So if you've not seen it and you do not want to be spoiled on what happens to the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in 1990, watch the movie and then come back. And we'll be right back with an introduction of my fellow podcaster. All right. Let me welcome my single, ready to mingle. No, I don't know. Mr. Coco Palau. Ricky Carmona, how are you doing?
I'm doing well as I watch you wipe the spit off your face
Jesus,
from saying.
Yeah.
It's you guys, one day you're going to come in here and I'm going to feel like I'm listening to my mom say
yeah,
it.
One
Coco
of these
Palau.
Days, and you're going to be like, what happened?
I'm doing well, Rhea. How are you? Now, you mentioned something in your intro there. I have a question. What are record stores?
Ah, yes. I'm sorry. I forgot to. It's a physical version of iTunes.
Ooh.
So it's a physical iTunes.
Ooh.
So it's like you're going in a place that is like iTunes.
Yes.
But all the music is actually in front of you.
Oh.
And you can touch it.
Whoa.
Like pick it up and buy it.
Wow.
It has a price on it. It's not $9.99.
I would say, is it 99 cents? Is everything
no,
99 cents?
No.
Really?
But I
it's
hate to break
song.
It to you, Ricky. The songs are $1.29 now on iTunes. So.
Well, I
have prices
noticed
have
it.
Gone up just like Redbox did.
Did Redbox go up?
It did.
I don't use Redbox.
You don't use Redbox?
I don't use Redbox.
People were judging me for using Redbox recently, a couple months ago, over the summer. Somebody's like, why don't you just, you know there's the internet, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, yes, I do know that. But movies from the, first of all, there's a Redbox right across the street from my house.
There you go.
I get codes texted at me all the time.
Convenience.
I get free movies.
Come on now.
And they just came out.
Boom.
Well, 28 days, I think. So they came out recently, not on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to steal them.
No.
So I use a code, I go get the thing, I make sure I return it before 9 p.m. the next day, and I don't have to pay for anything.
Look at that. It's almost like going back to the video store again.
It is like going back to the video store,
that's
except
sweet.
It's a kiosk and there's no human beings involved in it.
What is a kiosk?
Yeah. It's a really sad job.
Is there somebody in there?
Yeah.
Mr. Kiosk?
There was a time in my life where I was hopeful for a kiosk job.
Is that right?
Yes.
Specifically in a video store or just working
in
a kiosk?
No, in like a mall kiosk. Where I was like, well, it's like flexible. You can like shut it down whenever you need to get.
Wow. Hey, sir, would you like to try on these sunglasses?
Yeah. You want this yo-yo that flies around in the air? Why not? It's a perfect gift for no one. Oh. Come on. Come back in here.
I always thought the guys who could throw those planes, they're like the big,
yes,
like styrofoam planes. And of course, in the mall, they would work amazingly.
Of course. You're like, oh my God, that's a girl.
I do that. You're a magician. You're a wizard. Mom, buy me all of them.
And then you go to your house and you're like, oh shit, it's small in here.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have 30 foot high ceilings. That's so weird. Mom, yeah. Why didn't you do that? Why didn't you buy those, Ma?
Where's the fountain? We don't have a wishing fountain and a gigantic snowman.
That's right. Or a red lobster. The Cheesecake Factory, Mom. Come on.
There's a mall in my around my hometown. It was not my mall. I don't know if you had this where you were growing up, but there were different malls in Akron that then, you know, in certain neighborhoods. And you would, you know, there was like the nice one that I, of course, would like leave my neighborhood and go hang out in the nice one and get dirty looks. But then there was mine in my neighborhood, which I would go to all the time. But then there was a third one that I just never went to because it was kind of the same level as mine. So why would I go to it?
Of course.
Just go to mine.
Absolutely.
But every now and then I would go. And at Christmas time, they would put in this huge, like 30 feet tall? Yes. Like 100 feet tall. Huge snowman. And his name still confounds me to this day. His name is Archie.
Sure.
Why would you name a Christmas?
Why wouldn't you? Why,
Archie? I mean, I guess why wouldn't you is a decent question also.
Chester's
but he would talk
against...
at people.
Oh, that's creepy.
And I was terrified of
it. I was going to say, as a kid, like, that might be a little creepy.
Hey there, little girl. What do you want for Christmas? But you wouldn't have, clearly, you wouldn't have initiated it. He would just talk at the mall.
Yeah.
And it was terrifying.
We had three malls that we would go to. Shout out to the Brickyard Mall. Shout out to Woodfield Mall. And shout out to Ford City Mall. And Woodfield Mall was the
names.
Real, Woodfield Mall was the classy mall.
I didn't
mall.
Say any of mine. I feel like I should shout out to mine,
would
too.
Would you please? I wish you would, girl. Say
classy
that shit.
Classy Mall, Summit Mall.
Boom.
My mall, Rolling Acres.
What?
Not so classy.
No?
It's actually completely fallen apart. There's plenty of stuff on YouTube and just generally, like, you know when you see those, like, sad rundown photos of yesteryear of the mall? That's my mall. Like, it's the top one. There was a guy living in it who was having romantic relationships with mannequins.
Whoa.
And it was not the movie Mannequin.
Whoa. Was it Andrew McCarthy?
I knew the guy. I grew up with him. So that's where I'm from. And then the third mall with Archie was Chapel Hill. So.
Chapel, what was the name? I know you're going to have the answer to this. What was the name of the mall in Back to the Future?
Well, which timeline are we talking about?
Let's go with original on this one.
Twin Pines Mall.
Twin Pines Mall.
It then becomes Lone Pine Mall.
Yes.
Which we all know.
We all know why.
Yes.
We all know why. Shout out to the Spencer Gifts and Brickyard Mall as well. I loved you. I loved you, Spencer Gifts.
Spencer's Gifts was the jam.
Absolutely.
Was it not? It is still kind of the jam. I went in there recently just for fun.
Yeah.
And they had a bunch of, like, pro-gay stuff, which was pretty great.
That's
like,
dope.
Onesies that said, my uncle is gay. And, like, one that says, my aunt is gay, which was pretty great. But then I was just, like, next to it was, like, a Confederate flag hat. And I was like, should really whittle it down.
I'd like to speak to Spencer about that one, please.
You should curate this, because number one, we're in Ohio, which is not a Confederate state whatsoever. Second of all, we're in 2014. We don't need to flag that fly. Yep. We don't need to flag that fly anymore.
Mm-mm, not at all. She say, yeah, can we get married at the mall? I feel like I'm obligated to do that.
Yeah, you had to do that. We'll be back with some movie news. All right, let's do some news, some reviews, some things you can use. I feel like this is going to be all of them. I'm going to say up top, I have a couple of news items. But first I want to ask Mr. Coco Palau.
Rhea, we didn't acknowledge who you are in this family of Wham Bam Pow.
Oh, yep.
You are the Lady James Dean.
Yeah, my recent nickname, which is Pamplemousse.
Oh, I forgot about Pamplemousse.
Trying to keep Pamplemousse around. I think
Pamplemousse.
Pamplemousse. Pamplemousse.
Pamplemousse.
You have to use the whole mouth and the throat. Pamplemousse.
I feel like I almost had a stroke in the back of my neck when I said it that one time.
My elbow had a stroke. So the first thing I think we should definitely just get out of the way, I need a little catharsis after seeing it, is the Terminator Genesis trailer.
Oh,
have you seen it?
Oh, we might. What? Can we add another hour of recording time to this?
I feel like
because
we should do a bonus episode just on that trailer.
Oh, I have.
And I think there was a new one today, but I didn't see it.
Oh, really?
I don't know
okay.
that I want to watch any more of it because it's really.
Well, the trailer that I saw, I feel like I've seen the whole movie now.
Sure.
I feel like that trailer showed you everything. And what they did was they took all the amazing action set pieces from the first three Terminator movies and they just put them in this
smashing
one movie
together.
Now.
And the look of the fourth one.
Yeah, for
the
sure.
The look of the fourth one.
Yeah.
I also, you know what? I feel like I've seen this movie before and that movie was called Back to the Future Part 2.
Right? Absolutely.
Just took the first movie and then made it again.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they did a good job with that. I don't know. This makes no sense. I know it's like a time travel series, but come on.
Yeah.
Who wants to go? At least Back to the Future Part 2 had almost all the same actors.
Mm-hmm.
At least they had the same people in the movie. And they weren't just, like, remaking something for the hell of it. Like, it just does not compute.
Yeah. And it was so... It's so weird because I feel like after the first two movies, there was, like, a part of us... Maybe it's because they would tease them, the moments in those movies, where we'd be like, man, wouldn't it be so great to see what that war was like, where, like, you know, the machines fought the humans. And the more that they show it to us, the more I'm like, you know what? I don't want to see that shit.
Right.
It's like
the Alien Prometheus thing. Like, you know, I don't... not even half, but, like, a lot of what's so great about Alien is you don't know where it came from.
Yeah.
And you just see that crazy set of, like, the space jockey, and you're like, what in the heavens could this even
for
be?
Sure.
And it gives you all this material in your own mind, and also you can just not care about it if you don't want. You can
mm-hmm.
just experience it and move on. And then when you try to go back and explain something that people have enjoyed for what it was for so long, I mean, that's what I love about it.
Mm-hmm.
I love thinking about the timeline and how it's affected from 1 to 2.
Yeah.
Or just even in 1. So why would I then want to go back and watch the movie where it rewrites the entire thing?
For sure.
And changes, like, the one character that actually evolves free from time travel herself.
Mm.
You know, like, why would I want to? This is the one.
Yeah.
This is the one that really bothers me. I actually think. RoboCop, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm dismissing it, although I am going to make myself watch it just because I want to see what the enemy is up to. But I think this is the one. I honestly am like, I'll see what a third Ghostbusters is about because I don't think it's, I mean, who cares? If it's terrible, just pretend it didn't happen.
For sure.
But this is a weird cash grab to me.
It feels like a real cash grab. Absolutely. A big time. And if the whole point of the first two movies feels like it's losing its importance. Like there is a fate that we could make for ourselves. There are choices that we can make, and if we make these choices, it will lead to this outcome. And now they keep rehashing everything, or they keep bringing up this new loophole. Actually, what we meant to say was this can happen instead. And it's like, okay, all right, well, then when does somebody finally get there? Somebody has to, I don't want to say win, that's not the right word.
Sure.
But there just has to be some kind of finality to it. Is that a word? Is
finality
a word?
Yeah, I think so.
Man, it sounds good. Finality. And so when that's not happening, it just feels like, all right, well, then.
Sure.
And I'm not interested in this story because it doesn't feel like it's building to anything.
Right.
It just feels like. And stop making that dude, stop trying to make that guy a star, man. That dude is not a movie star.
Die Hard.
The Die Hard dude.
Yeah.
I want to get all the movies that he's done and see how much money they've made. And then I want to get somebody else and see all the movies who is hardly in any movies that has made a shit ton of movies and be like, what? Put that guy in it.
Right.
Somebody once showed me like a stat like Omar Epps or something in like the late 90s. Through like mid aughts, was in like these huge movies, but was hardly like getting cast in anything. And then like Joe Schmo, actor who they were trying to like make famous from Australia, kept being in all this rinky dink shit, and he was just getting cast in all these. Stop forcing these motherfuckers on us.
Also, that
we don't
dude
want
is
him.
So built, and like we've seen the first movie, we know what. I understand you can't like cast the same. Guy, Mike, you can't put Michael Bane in that. He's like, what, 100 now?
Looks great.
But like,
for
at least the whole point is he's small. The whole point is he's a human being. And even Michael Bane was like built for 1984 when he was in that movie. But he was 1984 built.
He was 1984
it's
built.
It's a totally
Absolutely.
Different movie. She's also got like brown hair. It's supposed to be the eight. Oh, everything about this movie. And you were talking about finality. This is the last thing I'll say about this. I will get the last word on this.
Please do, girl. No, say that shit, girl. Say
and
that
this
shit.
This is spoilers for Terminator 3. So if you haven't seen Terminator 3 and you want to see it, I'm going to talk about the ending of that movie. So wait just like 30 seconds and I'll be done talking about it. I think that the third one gave a brilliant amount of finality to the series without anything really happening, which was a perfect ending to the franchise of like, oh, it's going to happen no matter what. There's literally nothing we can do. Like, no matter what we do, it's going to happen because we're humans and we already started it. It's never going to go away because we already made it. We can't stop it. You know, it's almost like like humans can't stop themselves. Mm-hmm. So like we're always going to exist, probably, maybe, for a long time. So why stop making the movie? You already finished it. Nobody cared about 3. Nobody cared about 4. I don't know who's going to care about 5. Enough said.
Finality.
Final word. All right. So we'll get into the other ones. This one's just real quick that I personally found made me very happy. The Finding Dory details were released. It's going to be a family reunion story where Dory digs into her past and finds that she was raised at the Marine Biology Institute of California. And this movie's coming out in 2016. How do you feel about, a sequel in the Finding franchise?
You know, if there's anything I wanted to see explored more, it's the Finding Nemo world.
Right.
Finding Nemo, when I saw it, it was fun. I enjoyed it. But I haven't seen it since the first time I saw it. Dory is
Ellen DeGeneres. Yeah.
I remember thinking she was the best part of the movie.
Yeah, the forgetful fish.
Yeah. So, I mean, I mean...
She is the best part of the movie.
Every time she showed up, I was like, God damn, that is funny.
Again.
Yeah, it did.
You know,
it did. It brought her back big. It's a kids movie, so sure.
I'm personally, I think, a little bit more excited about Inside Out. Have you seen
I just
any
saw
for that?
A poster for that today.
Yeah.
I don't know...
It's like Herman's
about it.
Head, but for kids with emotions.
Okay.
It's basically the same thing.
Okay.
And Amy Poehler's the voice of Joy. Like, there's characters of her emotions in her head.
That's
funny. About a little girl. Yeah.
All right.
And then there's a sad one and stuff. So
that's funny. Who's the sad one? Who did they get
I forget
the sad
who the sad one is.
All right.
Sorry.
No, it's okay.
I didn't do my research on my riffs.
Well, I guess we should...
Move on. We should move on. I think this is kind of cool, actually, because we tend to be not into reboots, but in this case, I'm actually into this reboot. So given the success of 2014's Godzilla, which Max Bornstein, friend of the show.
Thumbs up.
Japan's Toho is going to make their own Godzilla reboot, which will be coming out in 2016, which is 2 years ahead of the legendary sequel. Legendary being the film studio, not legendary.
This shit was legendary.
So what do you think about reboots creating new life for the original property? Because we were just talking about how bad Terminator is, but in this case, there's sort of like two entities happening. The Japan entity and then the American one. And I personally think it's cool that they're making a new one. I hope they make it the same way. I hope it's all like claymation and models and stuff.
And dudes in suits.
Yeah, dudes in suits.
I'm into that. I've always felt like Godzilla is a property that we borrow. So like I've made it clear on the show, I'm not crazy about reboots and whatnot. But for that one, I'm okay with it because I feel like that's yours. You can do whatever you want with yours. You know, I'm not going to come over and be like, no. I'd be interested to see what they do with it. My assumption is there will be a lot more Asian people in their version.
Yeah.
I'm feeling it's... I'd be interested in it just because to see like what they will do with their own property. I mean, I remember the Godzilla movie they came out with. Was it like Godzilla 1985 or some shit?
Oh, I don't know.
With, like Raymond Burr. The legendary Raymond Burr.
Yeah, legendary.
I remember seeing that in the theater. And I think part of me was like not into it because I was like, oh, this isn't, why don't they all look like me? What's going on right now? This is so, except for that old white dude.
Right. Except for Perry Mason over there. Yeah, Raymond Burr was on one of my favorite episodes of Square One.
Whoa, what was Square One like the math show?
Yeah.
Wow.
So Square One had MathNet in it.
That's what it is.
It was an episode of MathNet. I apologize.
It scared
the shit out of me. I've brought up MathNet and Square One before on the show,
felt
like, let's bring it up again.
Would you please?
I feel like it makes a lot of people happy.
Oh, MathNet. I know my favorite episode of MathNet. It's one where
Yardley Smith?
With
the gorilla and the opposable thumb?
No, but that sounds amazing.
It's a good one.
It's the one where somebody is able to make themselves look like the... Because they were partners, right?
Yeah.
Somebody's able to make themselves look like the male?
A dude from The Wire. The guy that is in Carchetti's... his campaign manager.
Yes.
Is, I believe, one of the MathNet guys.
Oh, is that right?
I'm pretty sure. I'm like 95% sure. And then the other guy's just like a white character actor guy.
Gotcha. One of them robs a bank, or say robs something, and he looks right into like the security camera and makes it like to make sure like I'm the guy. Look, it's me, the math net guy. But they're still able to figure out through math that that's an imposter. It's not really him.
Wow.
And I was like, man, that's so cool. Math is great. And then I tried math and I sucked at it.
And you're like, this isn't as cool as
yo, math, you can suck it, dude. Suck it.
Well, speaking of sucking it, Roberto Orci is out as director of Star Trek III, and it seems due to script issues. His Part 3 script called for time travel, which would allow then for the William Shatner cameo that everybody keeps talking about.
Jesus.
But that would also be going back to that device pretty quickly after the first one. So
And the second one.
So, yeah, rumors of replacement directors started pretty quickly with most of the internet quotient getting behind the very talented Edgar Wright. What do you think? Who do you think would be a good pick? Or are you just on board with Edgar Wright?
I think Edgar Wright would be amazing. That would be a great pick. Oh, man.
And also, would you see... Well, let's just go with Edgar Wright.
Mm-hmm.
Then, because I feel like after 2, you were pretty disappointed in 2, right?
Not pretty disappointed. I was disappointed in the choices that were made in the movie. Like, I don't like... And this is a J.J. Abrams thing more than anything. Like,
did Abrams direct? I thought Roberto Orci directed that one.
No, he was going to... I think he, like, wrote it and executive produced it.
Oh, weird. Okay.
It was just that thing where, like, J.J. Abrams in all the interviews, oh, this isn't going to be Wrath of Khan. It's not Wrath of Khan. It's Wrath of Khan.
Right, yeah.
And it's like, why? You don't have to do that, dude.
Yeah.
First of all, you don't have to remake Wrath of Khan. The first movie, Star Trek movie, the whole intention was to get away from that.
Right.
And then you come back, tell us you're not going to do the sequel, you're not going to do Wrath of Khan, and then you do Wrath of Khan. So it's just like... Ugh.
I wonder if in this third one they're going to be... looking for Spock at all? Trying to find him? Maybe like doing a Google search for Spock?
Maybe it's like Ask Jeeves for
Spock. Yahoo Answers for Spock? It's not going to be Bing for Spock.
Siri, where is Spock?
Exactly. Well, I mean, I would be into a Star Trek 3 with Edgar Wright. I would be reinvigorated.
Yeah, I don't have... That series has not yet... gone to a bad place with me. Mm-hmm. I thought the second one was fun, not as fun as the first one.
Yeah.
The first one was just so...
It was so great.
Yeah. You were like, you walked out of there like, hey!
That was exciting.
Yeah. And the second one, I was just like,
I kind of feel like Edgar Wright could make that again. That feeling again, you know, which is what I would really, really enjoy about that.
He would write that ship, you might say.
Oh my goodness, Ricky. Thank you for bringing me an ending to this segment. We'll be right back with the movies that made us with Mr. Ricky Carmona right after this. All right, we're back, and I cannot wait to hear what movie made you, Ricky.
Well, Rhea, I'm going to give you the... I'm just going to give you a little overview of this of what you're about to hear, and if you would be interested in seeing this movie. What if I were to tell you I want to make a movie about a white boy trucker who gets asked by his Chinese best friend to help rescue his girlfriend from an ancient warrior-turned-sorcerer-turned-present-day businessman who needs the girlfriend's green eyes to fulfill the destiny that the sorcerer believes will cause him to regain his human form. Would you be interested in seeing that movie?
Do you take credit cards?
Well, it would be in 1986. So
my diner's club?
Will that work? A diner's club, and I would give you a ticket for Big Trouble in Little China.
Awesome. And that ticket's like $4.
At that point, that ticket is $4 and popcorn is 37 cents. I love that movie so much. This came out in 1986. I did not see it in the theater. Nobody saw it in the theater. The movie made no money when it came out. I believe the budget was like $25 million and it made, I think, maybe $11 million, which is. I mean, today those numbers sound small to us, but I mean, back then that was like huge. So it didn't make any money. I don't know when I heard about it. I just know I rented it. And I was like, this is the greatest thing I have ever seen in my life. It really helped. Watching it again, it really shape certain things in the movie that stood out that now I can comprehend that back then. Like, I've always had, my best friends have always either been like a white guy, or like when I was in grammar school, it was like a kid from Belize. And just like watching a movie now with Kurt Russell, and his best friend is this Asian guy. And I was like, oh, this is cool. This guy has like a friend like that. I have a friend like that. I'm into that. Just like this, the star of the movie isn't, it's Kurt Russell, but more so than that, it's his best friend. And that actor's name is Dennis Dunn, John Carpenter regular, Dennis Dunn. The star of the movie is really like Chinese culture and Asian culture. And it's not, it's like, when I watched it, it didn't feel, obviously the effects are a little dated, of course, but it didn't feel like the culture and all of the Asian actors in the movie were there to be like the punchline of anything. It wasn't like, look at this crazy, look at how they do their crazy mysticism over there. The movie does this really smart thing of like placing characters in the movie who know just about as much as you do. So when they're learning along, that kind of gives you like, oh, okay, that's why that happens. Okay, that's the history behind that. So I really felt like, oh man, that's really smart. That's a really smart way to get you to accept this world and get you to like learn about it at the same time. Just Jack Burton, Kurt Russell. Jack Burton is one of the, he's so great at not doing a goddamn thing in this movie. Like he's like the first one to like throw himself into a fight and ends up doing nothing in the fight. Like everybody just comes on and like handles everything. And then he's always like pops up at the end like, ah, yeah, you know? And that was really great to see. Cause it was, I mean, I was a fat kid growing up. So I was never like, yeah, I'm like a macho badass dude. I'm just like, oh, yeah, you know, movies are cool. So it's great to see like this dude who's like, oh, yeah, you're like a bumbling, silly guy. I can relate to that. It was like at a time when Schwarzenegger was huge physically and literally in movies. Stallone. There were just all these ideas of like the main leading man was like this huge ripped ass dude. And Jack Burton is not that at all. I mean, he's obviously like fit and strong. He's 1986, like big,
built.
Built exactly.
And he has, because I watched this a couple months ago, and it reminded me of a time when men had visible armpit hair, like all the time.
Yeah,
because he's wearing that tank top the whole movie. Because I'm not gonna call it the other thing. he's wearing one of those white tank tops, and his armpit hair is just sticking out.
Yeah,
and like dudes don't shave their armpits now, but I feel like guys like trim it. I never see it.
No,
maybe
yeah,
I just
sure.
never see dudes with their shirts off in person, but like I never see it, and it's sticking out in such a 1986 way. I don't know how else to describe it other than that. Like it's just so perfectly of its time.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Which is why it feels not dated, if that makes sense.
Because no,
I think
sure.
that's the definition of being dated. But it feels like encapsulating of 1986.
Yeah. I don't think the movie feels, the story itself feels dated because there's so many different styles going on in the movie. There's a sci-fi element to it. There's an action element to it. There's a slapstick element to it. So, like, all these things are happening. And a lot of the movie takes place underground. So you're not necessarily, like, oh, yeah, there's a telephone stand, you know, or like a telephone booth, what have you, you know, things like that. So it really gives it like this just kind of like timeless quality to it. Kim Cattrall is dope in it. Gracie Law. The guy who plays David Lopin is dope. That's just such a the fact that he's also has gone through all these things. He started off as an Asian warrior, this huge warrior, and then he became a sorcerer, and then he got cocky. He was a cocky Asian warrior, turned into a cocky sorcerer, and then wanted to pull one over on the gods, And they're like, no, that's not happening. Actually, you're just going to be now this eternal, painful old man. And the makeup is great.
That sounds like the Kanye West story. He just hasn't been turned into a painful old man yet.
Just wait till Kanye's an old man. You think Kanye's crazy now?
Yeah.
Wait till he's an old man.
Yeah, he'll be crazy. Kanye, you crazy.
Kanye, you crazy. You crazy for this one. What else do I love about it? Oh, Jack Burton, that's what I was talking about. He's just this great combination of, he like predated John McClane in the sense of, like I was saying earlier, of like just normal guy action heroes. He's got like a little bit of Han Solo. Like I felt like the relationship between him, Jack Burton, and like Gracie Law kind of has like this Princess Leia, Han Solo element to it.
Also,
he's a little bit like Axel Foley. Back then, it seemed like people, like heroes, always had to have like one kind of thing, like a right. marker kind of. And Jack Burton's is definitely like that tank top. You know, Axel Foley had like the Detroit jacket. Schwarzenegger had like the leather jacket. Han Solo had the vest. Like he's just like this perfect archetype of this character that is just thrown a little bit off. You know, that is just like. I don't know, the sensibilities behind it and the jokes behind it, just, it's so great. The movie made no money. So, like, they weren't setting out to make, like, a B movie or anything.
Right.
They just really wanted to make, like,
a real life movie.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, Carpenter was, like, really excited. He, like, went through all this trouble to, like, get it done. They, like, fired the writers because they had one idea. Like, initially it was supposed to take place in like back in the Old West. Kurt Russell, Jack Burton was supposed to be a cowboy who like comes into some town and learns about all
well,
this.
Well, that makes sense because when I was watching it, I was like, holy shit, I wonder if he's still paying the estate of John Wayne because he's just like doing John Wayne.
Oh, absolutely.
Like so hardcore. Yeah. I mean, you might as well just be like, hey, pilgrim. Like, no, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
That's all so the, funny yeah. to me.
His lines are great. The check is in the mail. If I'm not back before dawn, call the president. You know, he just has all these great little throwaway lines. So fantastic. What else do I love? I can talk about this. You're going to have to cut me off at some point.
Let's cut you off.
Because I can talk about this forever. Oh, also, I'm not saying that these guys are as great villains as somebody like Darth Vader or like Boba Fett. But the three elements in the movie, thunder, lightning, and I'm blanking on the third one right now. Those guys are just so badass. Like that. Like the first time I saw those, I was like, "Oh, we can make the movie about them. I want to see them in everything." So great. And I mean, to the point where like Mortal Kombat owes a lot to Raiden owes a lot to my man Lightning in that
Absolutely.
Movie. So great.
The check is in the mail.
The check is in the mail. If anybody wants to continue talking about Big Trouble in Little China, just DM me.
Hit him up on Twitter.
Hit me up on my page.
At Big Trouble in Little China Fan 1.
One.
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 All right, we'll be back with a review of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles right after this.
Hello, I'm Taku, the Elven Magician.
Merle Highchurch here, the master of clerical magic.
I'm Magnus Burnsides, the fighter.
Did you guys like that? Did you, the listener, like that? You were just swept up in a world of high fantasy and magic where anything can happen and anything is possible.
Hi, I'm Griffin McElroy, Dungeon Master for The Adventure Zone, a new podcast on Maximum Fun, in which magic and mystery intertwine for a very erotically charged role-playing experience. You can catch it every other Thursday here on MaximumFun.org or iTunes. It's for Dungeons & Dragons, but with family.
Time to give you a brief review of a dick flick. This week we chose Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the 1990 version, which is currently on Netflix Instant. Spoilers are ahead. We are going to talk openly about the plot of this movie. So pause us, watch the movie, come back, or don't give a shit and just listen to us be funny. Cool. All right, so we're doing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, as I said, from 1990. It is directed by Steve Barron. I didn't look up anything else he did because I didn't feel like it, which was a mistake. But hey, what are you going to do? And it stars Judith Hogue, who plays April, and Elias Koteas. Love me some Elias Koteas.
Oh, come on now.
And this is young Koteas,
this
too.
This is young Koteas.
Young Koteas. Young Koteas.
Young Koteas, young Koteas. Young Koteas, young Koteas, young Koteas. Young Koteas.
Young Koteas.
That's what's up. That's what's up.
He plays Casey Jones. And there's a lot of, there's some voice actors in this. And so the guys, each person, each human being that plays a Ninja Turtle has a cameo in the movie.
Oh, is that right?
Which is awesome. Yes, Josh Pais specifically. He is the passenger in the taxi cab.
Okay.
Who is a comedic actor. He's been in a lot of stuff.
Okay.
He's like a comedic character actor. He's very funny. He did the voice work and the physicality of Raphael.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I did not know that. We're talking about cameos. I hope you're not going to exclude, you know,
I feel like I'm going, well, no,
okay.
We'll get to it. And then if I leave it out,
all right, perfect.
You bring it up.
Thank you.
So, the plot, oh, but we're talking about, I forgot to mention, Mr. Corey Feldman.
Yes.
As Donatello.
Does he have a cameo in the movie?
Yes. No, he does not. Because it's only the physical, it's the word for it is escaping me right now, but
okay.
The actors that are physically playing the turtles.
Got
like doing
you.
The stuff
I see what
in
you're
the
saying.
The costumes and acting it out.
Got
I mean,
you.
I guess puppeteers, full body puppeteers,
sure.
I guess you could call them.
Sure.
Just those guys
okay.
have cameos in the movie. It's not the voice. Not the voice.
Is cameo in this movie?
Word up. They're not. That's one of my favorite Saturday Night Live sketches where there was some kind of court proceeding about maybe it was like Napster or something. And Tracy, God, why can't I think of his name?
Tracy Morgan?
Tracy Morgan. Good gravy. I want to call him Tracy Jordan. It was very confusing that they did that.
I was hoping you'd say Tracy Ullman.
Tracy, it was Tracy Ullman and Dan Castanella. He's like clearly the singer from Cameo. And he sits down and like gets his papers all ready. And it's like taking forever. And he puts on his glasses and he like drinks water. And, like clears his throat. He's like, word up. It. That's the only thing he does.
That's hilarious.
Oh, I love it so much. I think Conan played Right Said Fred.
Ooh.
Anyway, you guys, I love giving you gifts. I love giving you tasks of looking these things up, finding them, and sending them to me.
You don't ask for them.
Right.
You just
no, I
get,
just get them. It's
you
a
just
gift.
Get them.
It's a gift. Okay, so the plot for this movie, a very simple IMDb single sentence plot for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. A group of mutated turtle warriors must emerge from the shadows to protect New York City from an uprising criminal gang of ninjas. That's pretty, I guess that's pretty right on.
Solid.
I love that they're like a group of mutated turtle warriors.
Mm, yes.
Could you not call them ninjas? Interesting. Now, a little bit off of the subject of this movie specifically, but I wanted to ask you this question. Do you have a knee-jerk reaction to a movie that shows the Twin Towers in it?
No,
you,
I do not.
You never go like, whoa.
I mean, I acknowledge that, oh yeah, those things used to be there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess I react to it like that, but I don't like...
Oh, I don't mean like you get really upset or anything.
Oh,
I just
okay.
mean like,
yeah, yeah,
what
yeah.
is your... Because I always have a response of like, whoa. Like, yeah. I just think that.
When I actually, when it, my immediate reaction to this was when I see movies like this... I go, oh man, I miss dirty New York.
I know.
You know?
Yeah,
that was my,
I miss the
that
New
was
York
my immediate.
Terrified me.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah, exactly.
When I watched Big and he goes to New York the first night and he's like crying in that motel, in
yeah.
the St. James Motel, I was like, I'm never, this is terrifying. I'm never going anywhere. And I remember thinking that of this movie too, because I saw this movie at the drive-in with my dad, who he would take, we would take his pickup truck and he would put like an air mattress or a futon mattress
sure.
in the back of his pickup. It was a full-size pickup. 8-foot bed.
Wow.
He would put that in the back, and then we'd take, like, strawberries or something, and he would immediately fall asleep. And then I would be alone at the drive-in in the middle of the summer, in the middle of the night, watching a movie by myself. I think I also watched Batman Returns this way.
Ooh, that's great.
Terrifying.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
I mean, it's awesome. Also terrifying at the time. I remember seeing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and being like, oh my God, my life just changed.
I saw Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Oh, you would know this place, Chicago. I saw it at the Davis Theater.
Oh,
in
wow.
Chicago. Yeah.
Yeah.
Loved. It was like, I shit you not, it was like $1.75.
I believe you.
It was so good. And not because, like, that's how cheap it was. It was like, the Davis Theater used to be a, like, third tier.
Sure.
Like, when they got, by the time they got a movie, it had been out
that's
for
the
a
Red
minute.
Box. That's what the Red
that's
Box is.
Exactly.
The Red Box is the third tier movie theater.
It's your Davis Theater.
Yeah, because there's no third tiers anymore. There's just first and second, and then Red Box and Netflix. That's it.
Does the floor smell like Cisco? Because my brothers would sneak in bottles of alcohol into the Davis Theater and then spill it because they were so shit faced outside the kiosk at Red Box?
Yeah, it does.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, because it's an outdoor one. And this is Los Angeles. So, yes. But getting back to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yes.
A couple interesting trivia things before we get into our best and worst. This is Sally Menke's first feature film.
Sally Menke, the editor. Jesus Christ, Ricky. Yes.
Yeah, rest in peace, Sally Menke. Pretty cool. Mm-hmm. She's not the only editor on this film, but pretty cool that this is her first movie.
Her first foray?
Yeah.
Into film editing?
Yeah.
That's great.
That's
I think
much
that
it.
Is a great fan. Can you, because I know who Sally Menke is, but I just know, like, yes, Sally Menke, the editor. Do you remember what else she's done so I can make
well,
the connection in my
every
head?
Every Quentin Tarantino.
She does.
Movie.
She's the Tarantino
every
editor.
Single,
okay.
She's done all of
Thank
his
you.
Movies.
All right. Now I know who we're talking about.
And that's why they're on his, like, Blu-rays and DVDs. There's the, hi, Sally.
Yes.
On the, yeah. The
I knew it was somebody like, who's the one? There's the, like, Thelma Schoonmaker, who always works with Scorsese.
Now, it's an interesting thing to me that women are editors.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's an abundance of female editors as opposed to female directors. So it's this interesting, I don't know how deep I want to get into this because we haven't even talked about the Turtles yet and whose favorite has,
we'll get
whose
to them.
Has his favorites. but I've just always found that interesting. Like, is that a natural way for men and women to work together? Or is that the highest thing that a woman can really get to in the society of film? I find it fascinating.
I think if we look at it contextually, time-wise, I mean, the editor has a pretty high... That was probably the glass ceiling for a woman at that point.
Yeah. And previously, before that, I would say casting.
Yes.
Because women used to be casting directors,
sure.
And they didn't even credit them, and they had to fight to be credited.
Yeah.
In the movies, then not even to mention to be given, they're not given any awards, are they?
I don't, no, they're
they,
not.
Then
they're
they
not.
Should be. I mean, if it wasn't for them.
I think that's going to happen at some point.
They wouldn't
because
have
more
people
are becoming aware of that.
Yeah.
And I think now we're in the time, our generation and, you know, the generations, female directors are becoming a thing now.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah, of course. It's because
we're finally talking about it.
Yeah. Yes.
Thanks to the internet.
I think what will happen now is whoever we don't know who we're not realizing is getting jobs, they will be the next ones now. Who are like, hey, have you noticed there's like a lot of fucking Puerto Rican editors? Like a lot of them.
I wonder why that is. That's our podcast in 10 years. Because we'll definitely be doing this in 10 years.
Oh, man, I wonder why that is. I can't wait till we host that shit.
So, okay. So one thing that I really love about this movie, and spoiler alert, it's my best part, but I'll come back to it, is that Jim Henson's workshop did all the puppets for this, which I thought was great. But he also was very upset after this movie came out that it was so dark and violent.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Which I read that and I was like, oh, good for him. He was a good guy. And then I watched it and I was like, man. If he would have lived longer, he would have been like, this isn't that dark and violent.
Yeah.
Compared to 2014, I remember this being, like, my mom did not want me to see this movie.
Wow.
Because it was, like, too violent for her. Because I wasn't allowed to have guns when I was a kid. Like, toy guns. Or play gun video games.
I'm not laughing at you. Or at
no,
your
no, no,
mom.
Laugh at me. And she didn't want me to watch some men in rubber suits play with sticks on chains with each other. And also, this is my last little trivia thing, then we can get into what we like and don't like about the movie. Kevin Clash is Splinter. Clash also is Elmo.
Oh.
He does Elmo, the voice, and the puppeteering.
Elmo.
So he does the voice of Splinter and the body stuff, but other people, there's somebody doing his arms, and then there's somebody doing his face. But he's doing, like, the, you know, the whole, the torso and head movements of the giant rat.
Splinter, he's Splinter. Not a giant rat.
Yeah, sorry, he has a name.
Thank you. Thank you.
But yeah, it's Kevin Clash.
Kevin, he's the guy who's in the documentary?
Yes.
Finding him? Okay, excellent.
Yeah.
All right.
So there you go. That's the trivia. So Ricky,
yes.
Oh, I didn't mention this is the last thing. I'm so sorry, guys.
No, it's okay.
I had some coffee and some donuts, which was a bad choice. Sam Rockwell.
Thank you.
Is in this movie, and he doesn't even have a name.
No, he does not.
His credit is Head Thug.
Yep.
And I love him in this movie. I feel like he should have been nominated for an Oscar. Because even in this, he's like shooting for the stars.
He's all in.
Doing a great job.
All in. Yeah. That was definitely going to be, when you were going through cameos, I was like,
But see, I would not consider that to be a cameo because...
He's got a full-on role.
Not, yeah, and he's not famous yet. You can only have a cameo if you're known outside of the thing. And
okay.
That's how I consider cameos.
That's
word up, Ricky, word up.
According to Tracy Ullman. Word
yeah,
up.
Exactly. Well, just like Tracy Ullman says, word up. So, Ricky, what is your worst part of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
My worst part of this Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie would be, and it feels like, you know, I was surprised by like how much I still liked it. I thought I was going to like it. Like,
I thought I was going to be like, this is dumb.
Yeah. But I was actually, this is a pretty good movie.
it's not
okay.
Bad.
Yeah.
I can't believe it either.
Like, I was like, this is, and it's still like a pretty good, like, I mean, for whatever Jim Henson thought it being dark, I was like, and this is a pretty good kids movie, you know?
In 2014,
yeah.
This is a kids movie.
Right?
This is 100% a kids movie.
Yeah. So I.
Not 100%. I'll give it a 97.
I guess there's times now, and this is just for me being older, like you can see where they would run out of money on things. Like the budget just was like, ugh.
Oh, you mean like where the head of the turtles meets the neck of the turtles? Like that's probably one place where they ran out of money. Because there's definitely near the end of the movie, you can just see the mask, where the mask part ends.
Yeah. So I guess like just kind of where the shortcomings come in, where I was like, oh... Yeah, that's too bad that they couldn't really go all out. And the fight between Splinter and Shredder at the end.
Yes.
I didn't. There was also parts of this movie that I completely did not remember.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's been a minute since I've seen this motherfucker. And I was just like, oh, shit, cool. Here we go. I wonder how they're going to get this puppet to fight Shredder. Oh, it's all right. It's just like he throws something at him, and then he falls off the side of the building. And then it gets, then that last moment is really fucking dark. Then Shredder gets trash compacted, and we see his helmet get crushed. I was like, all right, if you're a kid seeing this.
That it's a little intense. And I guess in the beginning, like when, it's not Shredder, it's his like main henchman guy.
Mm-hmm.
He like, throat chops a kid at the, like, whatever, that
the cool place.
Pinocchio, like, Neverland thing that they made or whatever.
Punk
which I love the
pizza?
Set design of that thing. Like, I loved how it looked because there's one part, they're playing pool, and they use, like, a light, like a sign, a lighted sign for a business. They flipped it upside down to make the pool light, which I thought was just an awesome, like, yeah, you would probably do that. Yeah, right. But he chops a kid in the neck. Because, like, something went wrong. Like, they didn't do what they were supposed to do. Like, get the turtles or something. And in the you can tell in the movie the kid is supposed to die. And because it's a movie for kids, they were like, no, you have to change this. And you can hear there somebody goes, oh, he's breathing.
Yeah.
He's going to be okay. And then it cuts back and the kid is so dead.
Yeah, the kid's, like,
so
not
dead.
Moving. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really funny.
So I think my worst part.
What's your worst part, Rhea?
Thank you, Ricky. It's actually hard for me to pin down my worst part to one thing because it's actually not that bad.
It really is.
Because I even had fun picking on it, you know? So it like in the parts where, it's like April's been drawing the turtles, you know, like sketching them.
I loved that.
Super cool because it's like, oh, comics, that's where they came from. This is what the, and Danny is like looking through them. And he's like, oh, this is so cool. Can I have this one? And she's like, sure. And then he takes her drawing and smashes it and puts it in his pocket. And I want to be like, you dick, you just ruined that drawing. But I guess that would be my least favorite part is like the Danny storyline, because it kind of, I mean, I guess you've got to have it because how else would we understand the things? But it's, I was always confused because April and that actor, the woman, Judith Hogue, who I totally had a crush on when I saw this movie.
I did too.
They look related. The casting of those two actors, like they're related somehow. Yeah. And then I don't understand why he's even around her.
Yeah.
Like, why are they hanging out? And then the dad, who is her boss,
yes,
is at her house?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Well, yeah, I'm just saying.
It's very strange.
Working
so that's what I don't like about
five.
It. Women's lib, Ricky. Come on now.
Hey, she's a badass in it.
She is a badass.
She's a badass in it.
She does get to do some stuff, but she also screams a lot, which is a little annoying. And I have to say, maybe this would actually be... Let me add an addendum to my worst part. My worst part is that April, in the comic books, is a black woman.
Oh, really?
And they made her white in the movie. Because
really?
Of course they did. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
I knew I read none of the comics.
Me neither.
I know Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles from the cartoon and the dope ass arcade game.
I actually worked with it. Yes, the arcade game was great.
Oh, so
did
good.
You ever play the Nintendo, like the very first Turtles?
Really? Have I not mentioned that way? Didn't really hang out with girls that much.
No,
maybe it's because I was busy doing cool stuff, you know, like reading Stephen King.
Because I feel like the speed of that video game is the same speed of the movie. You know,
oh, for sure.
Like just like a side scroller.
Yeah.
Action
sequences.
Absolutely. Because I remember seeing those when I was a kid and being like, oh my God. And then I watch it now and I'm like, are they even fighting each other? What's happening?
That's funny. Actually, if I can add an addendum myself, if you watch the fight scenes, in Teenage Mutant Turtles, and if you watch Big Trouble in Little China and watch all the fighting that's happening in the background, everybody's doing like the same three moves over and over again.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. It's so hilarious.
They're doing their moves.
So hilarious.
And also going, watermelon, 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 watermelon,
yellow.
Watermelon, watermelon.
Toilet paper, toilet paper, toilet paper, toilet.
So what'd you
so
do,
great.
Fred? What'd you do this weekend? All right, Ricky, what is your best part?
My best part would be, I guess it's too easy to say the turtles, but they really are like the cheesy ass jokes, no pun intended, pizza, the cheesy ass jokes
no
work between them. They're funny. The turtles are just dope. Which is the one that has the...
Donatello.
Donatello. That's my boy.
Donatello's your favorite.
Because I just love that...
I almost guessed that. You love the staff.
Yeah, that was just like a badass weapon.
Interesting.
I was used to nunchucks already, but nunchucks was like, I can't do nunchucks, so it would like make me feel bad. The knives were cool, but they were too...
Size.
Yeah, the size. I'm sorry.
No. Are you talking about Raphael or Leonardo?
The size were...
That's Raphael.
Raphael. And then, what would...
Leonardo has swords.
Leonardo has a sword.
Katana.
Yeah, I don't think I was that crazy just, like, about Leonardo.
Leonardo's
I like Donatello's...
He was the brain. I like Egon.
Yeah.
I like Leonardo.
All right.
Those are my two faves.
I like Donatello's weapon, and I liked Raphael's. He's the one who's always angry all the time.
He's always
right?
angry. Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah,
I was a big fan.
He's
of that.
Red. He's always angry.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
I didn't think of that.
I don't know what
Donatello
orange
with
has
the purple?
To do with. Yeah,
oh, you know, that's my
he's
color.
He's very chill. You know, he's royal. That Donatello.
And I gotta be lying.
Exactly. So
I don't know
I think,
any words to songs. I don't know if people are picking up on that.
Just ba 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 ba. Word up, word up. Word up, word up. So I think my best part is actually...
What's your best part, Rhea?
Oh, thank you, Ricky. I think my best part is the Jim Henson's workshop, like, character design.
Mm.
I love it. I think, you know, part of it for me is I grew up on that stuff, and I grew up on that look, so it's almost like... This is going to be so cheesy, but it pardon the pun again, but it's almost like seeing family members or something because I grew up with seeing those same eyeballs and they like taught me things and I liked hanging out with them and then seeing them again, even though it's not like Kermit, it's not those people, but seeing that again, it's like, oh, this makes me feel good. I like seeing these turtles and I really did not like the way that those new turtles looked from any of the advertising that I liked. And it's there's something cartoonish and comic book about his adaptation in the puppets in these that I think they look great. They may not be perfect, and you know they look a little dated, but I still love it. There's something about the way Jim Henson captured eyeballs of fake things that nobody else can do. Like something he did put life into the eyeballs of those things, because I can believe it for like a second. You know, when I'm watching it, I'm like, oh, they're not. Oh, wait, no, this is a fake thing. It's all rubber. But those eyes just get me every time. Yeah. And like everything he makes.
That's a really good point, because there's something about eyes. If you get eyes right in a movie,
they're like impossible.
And it's so hard. I'm not a fan of any of these Zemeckis animated movies because the eyes always creep me out.
Yeah, it's the uncanny valley.
Whoa, that is something's not right there.
It's one
That's
of the hardest things to do is to get eyeballs, because it's the most descriptive thing of any person. You know, like nobody has the same distance of eyeballs or any or that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's just I love it. I love that in his movies. It's so surreal in a realistic way, if that makes any amount of sense.
People, we are dropping eyeball science on
eyeball
you.
Eyeball knowledge.
Eyeball not the make eyes sure, have it.
Yeah, make sure you watch En Chien Andalou after this.
Oh, no.
For some eyeball knowledge.
Right before you go to bed in a real dark room.
And then go to bed immediately.
Go to bed right away.
Turn the lights off right afterwards. Okay, so Ricky.
Yes.
On a scale of 1 to 5, hey, remember those cans of ooze you could buy? How many cans of ooze you could buy do you give it?
On a scale of 1 to 5, hey, remember those cans of ooze you can buy for the Turtle Dick flick, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, starring
Turtle
Elias Koteas.
Oh, yeah, speaking of
and
Turtle Dick.
Sam Rockwell.
Why don't they have tails?
Do turtles have tails?
They have little tiny tails.
Hmm.
And then the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles don't have tails. Did all their spine go up into their body because they began walking upright? That's what I want to know. Well, anyway, what's your rating?
That's a very good. Cancel everything I said about the eyes. Then. What's up with them tails? I would give this movie, you know what? I'd give it 4.
Yeah.
Hey, remember those cans of ooze?
Hey, you know what? On a scale of 1 to 5, Shredder looks like he stole his outfit from the Golden Girls. I'm going to also give it 4. Because I liked it. I had a good time.
Yeah, for sure.
There was when Raphael gets really beat up and they go to that house and he's in the bathtub, Cameron turned to me and was like, what? Why is he in the bathtub? And I was like, because he's a turtle.
Yeah, why wouldn't he be?
So I love those little touches in this movie. So anyway, that's what we like about it. Hey, Ricky, what do you want to leave everybody with this week?
I would like to leave everybody with, first of all, everybody, you're great. You're dope. You're the shit. That's what's up. I want to say thank you to everybody who worked on this show called Skateboard Cop for the show that I was on at Channel 101. They were awesome, and I had a fun, great weekend with all of you. I want to, you know what? I'm going to go through three songs. Let's knock these out.
Do it.
This house song that I have found, it reminds me of like an old Chicago, like late 90s house song. The name of the song is called Denying. It's on this album called Hot Brass. It's an EP, Hot Brass, and the artist is called Lucretio, and it is my favorite goddamn love song right now. And there's 4 lines in this song. That's it. I don't know who this sample is, who this woman is, or where they got this from, but they do that great thing where they like, it sounds like she's like singing through a megaphone, and she's just fucking wailing this shit out. And it's like, I mean, you can consider it like a love song to the person you love, like a love song to a thing you love. But God damn it, when I hear that voice, I'm like, that's what's up, girl. Say that shit. This other song is called Air Glow Fires by Lone on the album Reality Testing. If the robots were to be like, hey, we want to play some dope-ass acid jazz, it would sound like that shit. It's like, so dope. And the last song is called The Last Huzzah by Mr. Motherfucking Esquire. Find that shit. Watch that video because it is the dopest. It's got my man LP on it from Run the Jewels, Drunk Driving on a Wednesday. Oh, it's so hot. Goddamn.
Run them jewels.
Run them jewels. Fuck the law. They can eat my dick. That's word of pimp. Yep. Word of pimp. Word of pimp.
You got it. That's Ricky Carmona, you guys. Yeah. I'm going to leave you guys with one thing, which is a movie I watched and didn't know really anything about it, thankfully. So also don't look up anything about it. Just watch it if you're into it. But I watched this movie called The One I Love with Elizabeth Moss and that other guy whose name is escaping me right now from the league and everything.
Mark Duplass.
Thank you.
Yes.
Loved it. I loved it, loved it, loved it. It was so great. And man, it's just great to watch a movie where you're like, oh, somebody thought of this. Hmm. And then they made it. And then it wasn't like anything other than that. It just is so nice to watch something that is original. And God, I loved it so much.
All right.
So you guys watch it. It's on Netflix, I think.
It is.
I watched it on Amazon, so because I have a free Prime membership right now, which if we haven't recommended this already, and I feel like we might have, but it's totally worth recommending again. If you haven't seen Transparent, watch it. It's a great show. It's about a bunch of rich people, but I like the way they treat that. It's one of the more refreshing shows that I've seen about like privileged rich people. I love it. I thought it was a great show. So watch that. And next week, we will be watching The Grandmaster, which is on Netflix. Watch instant. So we'll be talking about that next week. And then we'll let you know next week how long we'll be off for the holidays and stuff. So until next week, I'm Rhea Butcher.
Yo soy Coco Pela, Ricardo Carmona. Oh, and happy birthday to my brother. Love you, bro. That's Boom. What's up.
And you have been listening to Wham Bam Pow. Wham Bam Pow is recorded at Maximum Fun headquarters by Lindsay Pavlis. Thank you, Lindsay and Maximum Fun, and thank you guys for listening.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.